to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
The title of my message today is, I Will Remember. I will remember. Now, I know you can hear that title and it may spur all kinds of thoughts in your mind, because there's lots of times it's like, oh, there's something I've got to remember. I don't know about you. I've got a decent memory, but I don't trust it. So if there's anything important I've got to remember, I used to write it down. I don't write it down anymore because I'm digital. Not as much as some people are, but I have this program that I use and it has lists. And I've got lists for every day, and I work my way through what's the most important thing to do today, and I do that, and when I get to the end of the day, if it isn't all done, then I assign it to another day, and I transfer it over, and there's over 700-something things on my list. Now, I use my list for everything, but because of that, if it makes it to my list, I usually don't forget. And that's good, because I got a lot of things I got to keep up with. Came across something the other day, it just hit me out of the blue. It's like, oh my goodness, why am I not as prepared as I should be for right now? Did I get it on my list on the wrong day? And I looked, and I somehow forgot to put it on my list. And I'm so thankful that God, I guess, reminded me before. You know, I mean, I had a situation years ago at another church where on a Sunday afternoon, I'm in a meeting with my deacons, and we had a Sunday night service at that time, and we're wrapping up the meeting, and some missionary friends come walking through the door, and I'm shaking their hands, and say, hey, I'm so glad you're able to come be with us tonight. And they said, well, you scheduled for us to be with you tonight. We're supposed to share. And I'm like, oh my, I forgot. Didn't make it to my list. Anyway, as we talk about I Will Remember, that's not really what we're talking about today. I just threw all those things in and try to get your attention. But I will remember. You know, Thanksgiving is this week. And what is Thanksgiving all about? I mean, it's more than just football. It's more than just getting together with family, as wonderful as that. It's more than food, as phenomenal as that can be. It's supposed to be a time to look back and remember. And the original Thanksgiving was to remember how God had provided and to be thankful for God's blessings. Now, I know in our secular culture, God's not even a part of it for many people. But there's still that idea of looking back and thinking about all the things we have to be thankful for. And many people, probably even most people, have some kind of tradition or some way to do that. I know growing up in our family, sitting around the dinner table, because we go to grandma's house, and all the cousins and my aunt and uncle were there. And before we would eat, we'd all hold hands. And before we'd pray, we had to go around the table. And everybody had to say one thing that they were thankful for. How many of you guys have something similar to that? You know, some kind of tradition of looking back and remembering and being thankful. Yeah. Well, that's what we want to do this week. We want to look back, remember, and thank God for his blessings. It's interesting. I encourage you to read this later because it's not my text, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole chapter, God is talking to his people. They've been taken out of Egypt. God has delivered them, brought them through the desert. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. He says, listen, I have given you the promised land. They hadn't conquered it yet. They weren't there yet. He says, but I've given it to you. You're going to get it. You're going to go in there. I'm going to bless you so much. He says, and when you are blessed, do not forget to remember. The words do not forget are used all through the chapter. Remember is used all through the chapter to say, I'm the one that brought you here. I love you. I want to take care of you. Don't forget. Remember. Remember. And you know what? Sometimes it's harder to remember when we're going through good times because we're just so used to it than hard times. But I hope that you will take time this week to meditate. That means to think specifically and diligently and to remember the things that God has done for you. I plan to sometime early this week to sit down and do that. I do this. Try to do it a couple times a year when I have a time of prayer with God and I don't ask him for anything. I just say, God, help me to remember all the ways you've blessed me. And I go back way back to my childhood and I kind of work my way through my life. Every place I've been, everything I've done, and try to remember everything that God has done that is so good in my life. And there's been so many times it's taken me over an hour to do that. And I'm sure I'm not even remembering everything. Take some time this week. I'm not saying you have to take an hour, but take some time to remember God's blessings. I know there's a lot of difficulties. I know there's a frustrations. There's a lot of pain, and there might be today, and that's really what we're going to be looking at in our message today. If you're sitting here saying, Pastor, that's all well and good, and yes, God has blessed me, and yes, I'm thankful for that, but right now, I'm dealing with a lot of pain. I'm dealing with a lot of difficulty. I'm going through a tough time, and to be honest with you, I know I need to thank God, and I'll do that, but it's going to be a struggle because I feel like God's ignoring me. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you feel that way today. And it may be a mixture of, well, no, God's not really ignoring me, but there's a certain area of my life where I feel like he's just put it on hold. He's not listening to me. He's not doing anything. I just want to tell you the message today is for all of us. For those of us that right now things are going pretty good and we just want to thank God. But it's also for those that right now life is pretty bad. Things are really tough. God wants to speak to you today too. And for everybody that's in between. So, for those that are going through difficulties, especially if you feel like God's ignoring you, at least in a certain area, what's the best thing to do? The best thing to do is what we just talked about. To think back on God's goodness, on his blessings, take the time to meditate on that, to remember, and to thank him. Because you see, that's the most foundational way to get recalibrated, maybe resynced, in our relationship with God, not that you're out of relationship with God, but to where he wants you to be, and it can help you with the situation you're facing. I'm not saying that if you just do that, that all of a sudden your problem's going to disappear. Might. Probably won't. But I believe God will use that process to help you to go through what you're going through right now. So, I will remember. We're going to be looking at Psalm 77. It's 20 verses, and we're going to read it kind of as we go through. And today, the points that I want to make actually kind of line up. We're going to take it one section at a time and create a question with an answer, okay? So the first part of the question is this, when I am deeply troubled, and we're going to stop right there. When I am deeply troubled, have you ever been deeply troubled? I'm not asking if you are today, but have you ever been deeply troubled? We all have. Asaph, according to the biblical tradition, is the one who wrote this psalm, and he was a worship leader in God's people, in the temple of God, the one in charge. He wrote a lot of psalms of praise and worship, but he wrote many of them that says, God, where are you at? I don't understand what's going on. And in this particular psalm, he is struggling. When I am deeply troubled, Asaph is deeply troubled. Let's look at the first four verses here. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God. I mean, he's repeating himself. He's like, oh, this is so bad. I just got to repeat myself. And he will hear me. There's a little bit of a declaration of faith there. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. You ever know what Selah means? Nobody knows. The best guess is basically that it might be stop and think about this. Okay, nobody knows exactly what it means, but verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Here we have, at the beginning of this psalm, a description of an earnest prayer of a troubled heart. Asaph is deeply troubled. How do we know he's deeply troubled? Well, you read this, and it's obvious. Of all the words that we see packed in those four verses, a great majority are descriptions of being deeply troubled. He says, I cry aloud, aloud. He mentions my trouble. He says, I'm seeking, my hands stretched out without wearying. In other words, God, I'm reaching out to you and I'm not stopping. I just keep reaching out to you and reaching out to you. My soul refuses to be comforted. I moan, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. What does that mean? It means he can't sleep. I hate it when that happens. You're really tired. You go to bed, you lay there. And for me, usually I start to fall asleep and then boom, all of a sudden I'm wide awake. Doesn't happen often, but I hate it when it happens. And many times it's just some kind of function of my body or whatever. And so, you know, I'll read a little bit, see if I get sleepy again, or I'll pray. A lot of times I pray and just wait for me to get sleepy again. But sometimes it's because something's on my mind. And there have been times in my life when struggles, difficulties I'm going through, the personally or as a pastor or the church is going through, whatever, and the Lord has been so faithful over the years that most of the time, even when stuff's going on and when I got a lot on my mind or whatever, maybe it's just busyness or whatever, that I'm able to kind of put that aside and sleep well. But every once in a while, probably just like you, it keeps me awake at night. That's what the psalmist is saying, man. I'm awake all night long and I'm so troubled I can't speak. He doesn't mean he's been struck mute. He just said, I don't even want to talk about it. We've been there, haven't we? He is so deeply troubled. What is his problem? What is he wrestling with? We don't know. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really glad we don't know. Because if he said, Lord, this is so bad because there's an enemy at the gates that are getting ready to conquer us, we would read this and say, well, that doesn't really fit my situation. But since we don't know, we can read this and say, you know, I feel that way sometimes. I feel that way today. And we can relate to him because we don't know exactly what it is that he is wrestling with. We've all experienced that. There's an old saying that all of us are in one of three states. Either we just came out of a difficult situation, we're in the middle of a difficult situation, or we're getting ready to go into a difficult situation. That's just life. Sometimes we find ourselves in all three of them. We just came out of a difficult situation, but we got another one we're in the middle of, and there's another one on the horizon. I know it's kind of pessimistic, a little negative, but that's just the way life is. So when I'm deeply troubled, second thing, when I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, here's that part about sometimes we feel like God's ignoring us. Or it's like, God, why don't I hear your voice? Why don't I see your hand? Why is it you're not doing anything? Why aren't you answering me? When I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, we're going to go back and overlap, read verse 2 again and go on to verse 6. He says, in the day of trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. So I said, and I received no response from God. How do we know that God is not responding to Asaph? Well, it's because he would have said so if God was. His emotional turmoil is still continuing. He says, so all these things are going on, so I decided I'm going to consider the days of old, the years of long ago. Let me remember my song in the light. What is he talking about? He's talking about, I want to look back to the past, and I remember times when God was there. I remember times when I could hear his voice. I remember times when I'd bring something to him, and he did something about it. But there doesn't seem to be any sense of relief. In fact, that's one of the reasons why he's moaning. Earlier on, he said, when I think of God, I moan. And I think part of it is because, like, God, what you used to, why not now? He talks about the songs in the night. We just talked about being awake at night. You can't sleep. All these things going through your head. I remember times when I'd be laying in bed. Maybe I was awake, and I was just praising God. I was singing a song of victory. I was singing a song of joy because God is so good. And I'm so glad for those times that when I can't sleep at night that I have an experience like that. It's not because of problems or whatever. I just don't sleep. And so I start praying and I start thanking God and I just really have a great time. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good, except I can't sleep. That's all. I'll get more sleep later. But he says, I'm remembering all those things and there's no relief. I'm deeply troubled. I receive no response from God. God had answered so many times in the past. Why not now? And again, maybe you're here today, or maybe one of you that are watching online, you're in this situation. It's like, I've seen God work in my life in the past. You know, and I've seen him work in other people's lives. And I know he's there, but why is he not doing something now? I don't understand it. This fact that God's answered in the past, but he's not now, it just intensifies that concern. Maybe you in your own life, you've been blessed so much by God in the past, but now you're facing difficulty. Now it doesn't seem like there's any answers. You may feel like the character in the Bible, Job. By character, I mean real person, but I mean he's a Bible character. You know, where God was so blessing his life, and he was faithful to God, and unbeknownst to him, all the events that took place about Satan saying, he only serves you, God, because you bless him so much. And God says, well, I'll just take my hand off and you go ahead and do some stuff and just don't touch Job. And so Satan was given permission by God, and Job doesn't know what's going on to cause all kinds of catastrophe and problems. And Job is still faithful to God. And Satan comes to God and God says, see, he's still faithful. He says, that's because you won't let me do anything to him. He says, okay, Go ahead, do what you want to him, just don't take his life. And so Job then is struck with disease and terrible pain and all that kind of stuff, and he's still faithful to God. Maybe sometimes you feel like Job. So when I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, the third part of the question is, will I give in to doubt? You see, we not only have the problems that we may be struggling with, whatever they might be, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, but we're struggling with these things. It seems like God's not responding. We have a choice to make, and one of those choices is we can give in to doubt, because doubt creeps in. And can I tell you, the most faithful people of God still sometimes wrestle with doubt. That may be the main thing that some of you need to hear. Because you may feel like, I'm wrestling with doubt, so I must not be a very good Christian. We all wrestle with doubt from time to time. If we think we don't, we're probably in denial. Asaph is wrestling with doubt. Let's look at verses 6 to 9. Again, a little bit of an overlap. He says, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? He says, is God gonna turn me away forever and just never, ever show me his goodness and his favor again? Verse 8, has his steadfast love forever ceased? If you understand what he's talking about, he's saying, has his forever love stopped being forever? You know, his covenant, his promise that he's promised to make that will last forever, has he decided to stop? Are his promises at an end for all time? Verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? You know, there's even this anger, this thing, maybe you've wrestled with this, like, is God angry at me? I mean, what did I do? Am I frustrated? Is God frustrated with me? Now, let me just throw this little side thing in here, that when we are not serving God as we should and we're walking in rebellion and sinfulness, that can cause all kinds of consequences. And if that is true, God will often let those consequences and those difficulties stay there to wake us up and say, I got to deal with this. So it's always wise when difficulties come to say, God, have I caused this somehow? Through my words, through my attitudes, through my actions, you know, have I done something? Have I sinned against you or against others that have brought this difficulty in my life? And if so, God, forgive me. I mean, that's the first thing. God, forgive me. And maybe you have to ask somebody else to forgive you if it has to do with somebody else. And then, God, what do I need to do to work this out? That's certainly appropriate. But please understand that just because you're going through difficulty doesn't mean that you've sinned. You need to honestly open your heart. You know, you could honestly say, God, I'm examining my heart. I don't see any place where I'm disobeying you, where I'm walking away, whatever. And there's this nagging, well, I must have some kind of secret sin, and it's so secret, I don't even know about it. God is God, and his Holy Spirit, if we know him as our Savior, Jesus is our Savior, his Holy Spirit dwells within us, and he will speak to us if we're open to hear, if we're involved in sin. So yes, that's a good thing to ask. But you know what? If you've already dealt with all that, it's like, I don't know of any sin in my life. I'm not perfect, but I don't know of any reason. Satan would love to make you think God's angry at you. The Bible says even when we sin, God is slow to anger. God is slow to anger. So one of the things is, will I give in to doubt? And these questions that Asaph is asking, are they sincere questions? He really feels this way, or is he being kind of rhetorical? You know what a rhetorical question is? You're expecting a certain answer. I mean, is he possibly asking, has his steadfast love forever ceased? No, no way. Are his promises an end for all time? No, they're not. But it still raises up the question that if that's true, why am I going through what I'm going through? Has God's unfailing love failed? Has God stopped keeping his forever promises? Another thing that this psalm tells us, along with many other psalms, is it's okay to express your doubts to God. He knows anyway. You can't hide anything from him. That's one of the best things you can do when you're struggling with sin, when you're struggling with fear, when you're struggling with doubt. You say, well, I shouldn't sin, and I shouldn't really have fear because God's in control, and I really shouldn't doubt because God's in control, so I'm not going to talk to him about it because shouldn't be in this kind of a mindset. No, that's the best time to talk to him about it. That's the best time to talk to him about it. Now, just another little side piece of advice there, that when you're going through times and you're struggling and you're going through doubt, it's really good to have a brother or sister in Christ who's strong enough that you can talk with them about it, and they can support you, and they can encourage you, and they can pray for you, and they can pray with you. But when you're going through doubt and that kind of thing, sometimes it's not best to share with some people, because rather than them encouraging you, it may discourage them and cause them to trip and fall. In fact, Asaph wrote another psalm. You read this another time. Psalm 73, just four psalms before this. And he was talking about a time that he went through when he was serving God in the temple and stuff, and things were so rough for him, and he looked at the evil people, and they're rich, and they're having good food, they're having parties, they're enjoying life, and it's like, God, what, is it really worth it to serve you? And his solution is, but then God opened my eyes to where they're going to end up and where I'm going to end up. And he said, if I'd have spoken about this to certain people, it might have caused them to stumble, so I'm glad I didn't. So again, you got to use some wisdom. If you're going through a tough time, I encourage you to find someone, to have someone who has the strength and maturity. And there's a lot of them out there. It's not like they're hard to find. To talk with and to join with you and to pray with you. But also be very careful. You don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. Anyway, a little side thing there. So we face a choice when we're disappointed with God. We face a choice when these things are going on. Are we going to lose our faith or allow it to dwindle or fade? Or are we going to keep hanging on? We're going to keep hanging on. Heard an illustration years ago. I may have used it before, so you may have heard it from me or somebody else. And that is, if you take coffee, you take carrots, and you take eggs. This is not a recipe, by the way. Take coffee, carrots, eggs, boil them for 20 minutes. What happens? Carrots lose their strength, become mush. Eggs get hard. And coffee changes the water and makes it an enjoyable drink, at least enjoyable to some people. I don't enjoy coffee. I hope that doesn't bring me down in your estimation or whatever. I'm just not a coffee drinker. Some people love coffee. Same water, different results because of what their consistency, what their nature. And the same thing is true for us. You know, when adversity comes our way, we have choices to make as to how we're going to respond and how we're going to react. And the real question is, am I going to trust God only when things are going my way? Or am I going to trust him even when there doesn't seem to be an answer? I think of the story that is very common. Most of you, maybe all of you, are familiar with it. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. In fact, that's the lesson we're going to look at the next time we meet on Wednesday night, a week from this Wednesday. If you're not familiar, I'll just summarize it, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Israelites in exile serving the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon erects this great big gold statue and tells all his leadership, you must bow down to this statue when the music starts playing or you're dead. Music starts playing, all these leaders are falling on their faces. Apparently it's a big giant group. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't notice, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't fall down and worship the statue because they serve the true and living God. They will not worship anyone or anything except that God. But some of their co-workers snitched on them, told Nebuchadnezzar they didn't bow down. And they're called before Nebuchadnezzar, and I happen to believe, it's not stated, but it's implied, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are some of the best guys Nebuchadnezzar has on his staff. And the reason I think that's so, because he gives them a second chance. I think if they were lousy employees, he's like, this is my chance, kill them. He says, listen, guys, I've told everybody, when the music starts, bow down and worship this thing, or I'm going to have to put you to death. Can't help but think, and Nebuchadnezzar, I really don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because you're flouting my authority in front of all these people. And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to the king. They say, if this be so, talking about that we're thrown into the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They said, our God can deliver us from your hand, and he will. But if not, now is he saying, but if he doesn't deliver us? No, he's saying, but if he doesn't spare us from the fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow down. They're basically saying, God could deliver us, but he may choose to, and he may choose not to. But whichever way it is, we're going to be faithful to God. And in their hearts, they may be thinking, God, we're trying to serve you. We're trying to be faithful. And God's already done some things to bless them and help them with difficulties that have arisen. And they're probably thinking, well, God, what are you going to do? Why is this even happening? But they said, you know what, God, no matter what you do or don't do, whatever you choose to, however you choose to handle this, we're just going to keep serving you. Even if it means we're going to die. And you know, if God had allowed them to perish in the fiery furnace, he would have delivered them. They're out of this life. They're in his presence. And that story is so meaningful. We'll talk about it in a couple Wednesday nights, because sometimes we read a story like that and we say, well, here's the principle. If you really serve God, he'll always deliver you from the fiery furnace. That's not the principle that's there. Because you see, this is the only time in recorded history, definitely in the Bible, that I know of where God delivered somebody from a fiery death. Many Christians were put to death by burning in a fire. God didn't deliver them that way. He delivered them. He took them home. The point isn't so much, yes, God's going to deliver you the way you think he's going to deliver you. The point is that God is with you through it, and whatever he chooses to do about it, he's worthy of our worship, he's worthy of our service, he's worthy of our obedience, he's worthy of our allegiance, and he wants what's best for us. And if he doesn't deliver the way we'd like him to, there's a reason, and he will work it all out for the good. He will. So when I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, will I give in to doubt? Or, number four, will I cling to God in faith? Again, we got that choice. Are we going to give in to doubt, or are we going to cling to God in faith? Verse 10. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. So I was wrestling with all this stuff, and then I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to set my focus on the years of the right hand of the Most High. What does that mean? God's right hand in Scripture talks about the times that God has used his power on behalf of his people. He says, I'm going to focus on the times when God did wonderful, awesome, powerful, miraculous things for his people. I'm going to focus on all the blessings. I'm going to focus on all the good times. This goes back to the way we opened the sermon by saying this is the week of Thanksgiving. Let's take some time to think about God's goodness. Let's focus on what his blessings. And that's true not just when life is going good, but especially when life is going rough, tough, and we don't like it. Let's look back and remember the blessings of God. And that's what Asaph says he's going to do here. He's going to focus on God and his past help. And we're going to read in a couple more verses, not just God's past help, but on God's character. We can count on God's character because God does not change. He's always faithful, always loving, always caring, always at work in our lives. Instead of focusing on himself and his circumstances and whatever that was, or for us, our sickness, our finances, our relationship, whatever it is, we're going to focus on God. You know, sometimes, not as much now as we used to, but sometimes we'd open the service and we'd say something like, well, we've gathered in God's presence, and let's put aside what we've been going through, and let's put aside the frustrations and all that, and let's just really focus on God. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, and we have to do that to a degree, but that also doesn't mean that we need to be in denial about life. We already talked about that. But let's not focus exclusively and primarily on our problems, but let's focus on the problem solver. I was just thinking about that. You know, when David faced Goliath, you know, he wasn't concerned about telling everybody how big the giant was. He was concerned about telling the giant how big his God was. I like that saying. I didn't make it up. I've heard it before. You know, we see that that's kind of worked into scriptural teaching about prayer. When we come to God in prayer, and we're specifically, there's lots of reasons to pray, not just to ask for things. That's a whole lesson in itself. But when we are coming to God to ask for things, because we're in need and he welcomes us, he tells us to come into his presence with our problems and our difficulties and bring them to him. He wants us to do that. But when we do that, we should do it with thanksgiving. You know, Paul talks about that in Philippians. He says, you know, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And I've said many times, because I see it over and over in Scripture, when you see prayers that are recorded in Scripture, no matter how difficult the problem is, in fact, there's times there's an enemy marching toward God's people, ready to attack them, and they start off with saying, God, you're a wonderful and awesome God. And I remember when. It's a great habit to get into. Anytime you come to God, no matter why you come, even if you feel overwhelmed with problems, to say, thank you, God, because you've done this and you've done that. It builds our faith. I think of that chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this world will grow faintly dim in the light of his glory and grace. So many other hymns talking about it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, you know. There's a hymn the men used to really love to sing. It's Felix's favorite one. And it talks about one day we'll understand, you know, when we get there. We may not understand totally here, but one day we'll. So when I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, will I give into doubt or will I cling to God in faith, remembering his past goodness? And there's the question, remembering his past goodness. And we see that that's exactly what Asaph is doing here. Again, starting in verse 10, little overlap going to 15, it says, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Meditate on that. Asaph says, man, I'm struggling. But you know what? I'm going to look back. I'm going to remember all the good things God has done and his mighty and awesome character, his loving, compassionate, everlasting faithfulness. Four times in that short passage, he says, I will, I will, I will. He doesn't say, I will if I feel like it. I will if my circumstances change. I will as soon as I see a little bit of light in the darkness. No, he says, I will. I'm making the first step. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust, I'm going to turn to, I'm going to remember God's goodness. I think of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He says, what then shall we say to these things? He's talking about all the things that come against believers, including those things that would cause them to have to give up their lives for Christ. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And I've mentioned this before, this is not a promise that if you're just serving God, he'll give you whatever you ask for. What he's saying is, if God loved you enough that Jesus came and died for you, don't you think he'll give you everything you need to make it through this life? Whatever you truly, truly need? Focus on God. Focus on what he's done in the past. He mentions several things about God's character and who he is. He mentions that God is holy in verse 13. God is holy. Holy doesn't just mean that he doesn't have sin and that kind of stuff, but it means he's different. He's separate from. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, God is speaking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And what he's basically saying here is that I exist on such a high, way higher level and plane than you do. You can't even begin to think about and understand all that I know and all that's going on and all that I'm doing. And basically what it's saying is that even when we get into heaven, we will never fully understand God. I happen to believe since God's eternal and he has an eternal life for us and a relationship with him, that we probably will be learning new things about God forever and ever. Good things. But what this also means is that we will not always understand. In fact, there's going to be a lot of times we don't understand. But even if we don't understand, we can choose to trust. We can choose to have faith. God is holy. He says, God is great. Says that in verse 13 also. God can do anything. He says, he works wonders. He is full of might. Let me ask you a question. No matter what you're facing with today, how many of you have experienced God's miraculous intervention in your life? Big way, small way, some way, just about everybody has their hands up. My wife mentioned earlier and prayed for Willie. Willie's with us today. Willie's attended here off and on over the years. His parents the same way. And last week, this time, he was living life. And I don't have all the details, and I may get a couple little details wrong, but basically he began to have trouble keeping his balance, and his mom was saying she took him to the dentist, and he got to where he couldn't even talk, and she took him to the hospital, and they did some tests. This was last Monday, and they found out he had this big tumor on his brain. Tuesday morning, he went to surgery, and they removed that tumor. Tuesday afternoon, my wife and I went by to see him, and he's sitting up in bed, and he is talking, saying, God did a miracle in my life. And he got out of the hospital. He's here today. Willie is here today after having brain surgery last Tuesday. And even a lot of people in the hospital are saying, that's a miracle. Now we rejoice. We appropriately say, thank you, Jesus. And he's been thanking Jesus a lot. So has his whole family. But that can also have the effect of, well, why not for me? Some of you may be sitting here, you may be watching online, you say, well, that's wonderful, I'm so glad, but why hasn't God come through for me? I would just encourage you to add to that, not yet. God has a different plan and purpose for each and every one of us. He had a plan and purpose in Willie's life to see that happen exactly that way. And he's been doing a lot of praying and seeking God about what he needs to do in his life now to just really follow Jesus. And we're going to pray and help him to do that. But we also need to pray, God, what are you trying to do in me when you haven't answered that way? At least not yet. What are you trying to do in me? Anyway, and then he also says God redeems his people. Says that in verse 15. The word redeem means to save and to deliver. And God did that in many ways, in a physical way for his people Israel in the Old Testament. But as we just pause for a moment, keep in mind that today as we look at that, God redeems us. He saves us. That the most important salvation we need is salvation from our sins. And God provided for that and did that through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear that we are all sinners separated from God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we have earned by being sinners, we're born that way, but we, you know, it's not like we're just born sinners, but we've never done anything wrong since then. Because we grow up just doing the wrong stuff, pursuing the wrong ways. Shaking our fists in the face of God, maybe not literally, but basically saying, God, I'm going to run my life the way I want to. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death and spiritual separation from God. But that verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By putting our trust and faith in Jesus, by repenting of our sins and putting our faith in him and his death on the cross, because that's how God took care of it. Jesus, God himself, came to earth, became man, lived the perfect life that we could never live, and died a death he didn't deserve. And in God's plan, the way that was meant to be was that that was not a great defeat, it was a great victory, because his death paid the price for our sins. So when we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus and what he's done, then we can be saved. So yeah, there's all kinds of salvation, redemption that we'd like from God, redemption from this physical problem, financial problem, relationship, whatever, save me, God. But the most important salvation we need and can experience is salvation from our sins so we can have a relationship with God. And please understand that all the stuff we're talking about, God working on behalf of his people, we're talking about a relationship here. God doesn't have to do anything for anybody that's not in relationship with him. He does. He has a certain amount of grace and mercy he extends to everybody because he wants them to come to know him. But I would just say this, that if you're really struggling with something and you don't even have a relationship with God, you can ask him. He might decide to do something, but the most important thing you need to do is surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins because of what Jesus did and begin to love and serve him. So God redeems his people. So to do this, we've got to change our focus from ourselves, and that's not easy, but it's well worth the effort. So as we wrap this all up, we finish the question and make a statement. When I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, will I give in to doubt or will I cling to God in faith, remembering his past goodness? God has delivered before and he will do it again. That's how Asaph ends this up. Let's look at verses 16 through the end of the Psalm, 16 to 20. He gives a picture. He says, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind, and your lightnings lighted up the whole world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So we read this very poetic, cataclysmic picture. And it's like, what is he talking about? But by the time we get to the end, and he talks about how your way was through the sea and you led your people like a flock through Moses and Aaron. Most Bible scholars believe, and I believe too, he's talking about that event at the Red Sea. that when God had delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, he had saved them, he had redeemed them, he'd taken them out. And he says, okay, head across the wilderness. And he was guiding them step by step by step by step. And one night he had them camp right next to the Red Sea. And I don't have any problem believing, I'm just speculating here, that that might have been kind of nice. It's like, oh man, you know, we've been going through the desert. Now we're next to the Red Sea. Maybe it's sort of like an oasis. Maybe it's sort of like hey, we're on vacation here. You know, we're camped out at the seaside, you know, and everything's good. We've been redeemed from slavery in Egypt. 430 years we've been in slavery and our people have been in slavery. And now God's redeemed us, and God deliberately brought them to that place that maybe at first seemed good. But then Pharaoh says, what have I done letting these people go? This is our workforce. This is the people that do everything for us. And he comes out with his army and he traps the Israelites between his army and the Red Sea. And God deliberately allowed it, and not just allowed it, but caused it. And the Israelites are like, God, they're facing great difficulty. Why did you allow this? What's going on? And they've got a choice. Are we going to trust God or are we going to doubt? They chose to doubt. God didn't give up on them, though. But there's prayer. Moses called out to God, and God says, stand still and look at what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do. You're probably familiar with the story of wind blew all night long and basically parted the Red Sea. It was kept back by God's mighty power, dried up the ground, and he also put his protective presence between the Israelites and the Egyptian army. Okay, pillar of fire by night and a cloud and fire by day. And they walked across on dry ground. Then when Pharaoh and his army tried to follow them, God just let it all go and his army was destroyed. God saved them. God did come through, but in the midst of the difficulty, it's like, God, what are you doing? Maybe that's where we're at today. We got a choice. Are we going to trust God that he knows what he's going to do and he'll bring about some answer? I can't tell you what your answer is going to be. Every situation is different, but if you're a child of God, he loves you. He wants what's best for you. He's going to work in and through your circumstances as you cooperate with him to bring out good on the other side. Some of that good may be here in this life, and we certainly hope and pray for that, but some of it may not be until we get to heaven. I firmly believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven and we look back on our lives and see how God was involved in even not just the good things, but the bad things and the things he allowed us to go through and suffer, we'll say, thank you, Jesus, that you let me go through that. We don't want to say it now, but we'll say, thank you, Jesus, because now I see why. Now I see why. Asaph's experiencing this right now. He feels like the Israelites between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. But he remembered that God came through in that situation, and he believes he's going to come through again. God was in control. And some of the things that were causing fear, if you can think, the description here, this great storm, lightning, thunder, all this stuff crashing. God's in control of all that. God's in control of all the circumstances that surround you right now too. As we wrap this up, I just want to reread verses 19 and 20, make a couple comments. It says, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. What that tells us is that God's path for us is going to be right through difficulty. It's not going to be some kind of yellow brick road. Not really trying to make a cultural inference or anything, but you know, some easy path through life. I've said so many times that one of the promises of Jesus we don't want to claim is in this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He says, your way was through the sea, your path was through great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. I love that phrase. It basically says, God, you were with us right there. You were walking with us. You were right beside us. You were all around us, but we couldn't see you. And I just want to tell you today, if you're going through a difficult time, God is with you. Even if you don't see him, you don't see the results, you don't see the effect, you don't sense his presence, he is with you. He is with you. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. How do we apply this message today? I want to tell you, just be honest with your feelings. Pour out your heart to God. But don't dwell on your problems. Take them to God, pray about them as much as you, but don't dwell. Don't put your primary focus on your problems. Put them on God, his faithfulness, his goodness in your life. I find it interesting that we get to this end of this psalm, and it's unlike several other psalms. Some other psalms, you have something very similar, and the psalmist is crying out, and this all happened, I cried out, and God delivered me, and God did this, and God did that. There's nothing at the end of the say, and God did this. But you know what? It still ends on a high point. It still ends on that, I'm trusting in God. My hope's been restored. Hopefully my faith has been restored. It's coming. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's coming. And I believe that that's what God wants us to experience today. So when I'm deeply troubled and I receive no response from God, will I give in to doubt or will I cling to him in faith, remembering his past goodness? God has delivered before and he will do it again. So as we wrap up our service today in this message, and we're thinking of Thanksgiving this week, I want to encourage you to apply the title of this message, I Will Remember. Let's take time this week, especially if things are going good or they're just floating along like normal, to take time to remember God's goodness and to thank him and to praise him for that. But for those of you, those of us who may be going through difficulties, let's still do it. And let's let God, let it build our faith and our hope. Give us confidence that God's in control. Whatever's happening and whatever will happen, God will bring good out of it. Sometime, some way, somehow, someday. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep on serving God and trusting him. I will remember. Let's all stand together. I'm going to invite our prayer team, our elders, our staff to come forward, and we will conclude our service like we always do. I'm going to say a prayer to ask God to continue to speak to us and work in us. And the worship team is then going to sing, and your response is whatever you choose it to be, because you're in charge of your response. But as always, I challenge you before you leave, because there will be no closing amen prayer. You can leave when you want, but before you leave, that you spend some time worshiping with the worship team, meditating on the message, saying, God, how does this apply to my life? Maybe start that process I was talking about. Just spend the next 5 minutes just start thinking, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. But if you would like prayer today for yourself or for somebody else you're concerned about, that's what we're going to be here for. We want to pray for you and pray with you. And if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you about that. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. God, we ask that you would help us to apply this psalm. However it applies to us, God, I pray that each of us, no matter what our circumstances currently are, would take the time, even before we leave today, but all through this week, and Lord, not just because it's Thanksgiving, but all year round. It's just a part of our life that we often spend time thanking you for your goodness and what you've done recently, but even way off in the past for some of us. I pray for a great Thanksgiving this week for all of our people, Lord God. And may you be at the center of it and show us how we can do that. Even if we're a family that doesn't believe in you, Lord God, open up doors. Maybe we can share you with others if you open those kind of doors in a family gathering or whatever. But Lord, work that out. But God, today we especially pray for those, and I'm sure there's probably a whole bunch of them that are here watching online, that they're going through a tough thing. Yes, they're thankful. But Lord, right now it's so hard. And Lord, maybe some of them feel like, God, where are you at? Can't even hear your voice right now. God, I just pray that you'd encourage and strengthen them today. That as they remember your goodness and as they choose to look back and to put their faith and hope in you, that you would lift their spirits. And God, we pray for deliverance. We pray that some of these problems would be gone today or tomorrow. God, you've said we can bring all our requests. We pray that you'd bring healing. We pray that you'd bring strength. We pray that you would work in relationships and situations, Lord God. But whatever you choose to do or not do, help us to trust in you. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, Go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.